If you smell what the bell is ringing. This is Movie Fighters. This is the show where I, Matt Wilson, and Chris Sims, we watch movies and we beat them up. And for the second time ever, we went to a movie theater together and we watched a film. The first time we went, movie was bad.
Dracula Untold.
Dracula Untold, real bad.
Extremely bad. So bad that it was meant to be the first movie in the Dark Universe. And then they did a second first movie in the Dark Universe.
That also failed.
That also did not work.
Which we have not, I have not seen The Mummy, so I don't know.
I have not. But do you remember the end of Dracula Untold where Charles Dance came out and he was like, let the game begin.
Oh, yeah.
But the game did not begin.
No, the game ended. The movie we saw in a theater this time, don't know if it was the intended start of a franchise or not, but...
I don't think so. Surely not.
Who knows? But it is the movie Rampage, starring Dwayne, Rocky, The Rock, Maivia, Johnson, and Naomi Harris. And we've already seen it. We've already watched it. We're breaking the format. We're not doing the pre-movie breakdown this time. We're just doing... talking about the movie.
Yeah, we're not going to do a snack situation. We will have a considerable snack situation coming soon.
If we do a quick, just to do a quick rundown, you drank a Coke during the movie. I had a cherry Coke. We didn't really eat any food in the theater.
Yeah. I had just had a coffee. Didn't want to put popcorn on a latte, but I knew I was going to get a little thirsty.
We had the hot continental breakfast at the hotel. If you are a Patreon subscriber, you can hear us talk about that some bonus content.
We should note, the reason we are together, we are basically recording every show we do, plus hours of bonus content, as we road tripped to Columbus, Ohio for the Columbus Podcast Festival, where we are going to be doing a live War Rocket Ajax in about 7 hours.
Yeah.
So we're here. We're like, of course we're going to do a Movie Fighters. We've got some free time in the day. How can we not see Rampage, a video game movie starring Dwayne, Rocky, The Rock, Maivia, Johnson, where he fights a giant gorilla?
Except that doesn't happen.
Except that doesn't fucking happen. Do you want to get into it? Because I want to say it's probably the dumbest fucking movie I've ever seen in my life.
It was so goddamn dumb.
It's incredibly bad.
Before we get too deep into it, I do want to set the scene a little bit. Mm-hmm. We rolled up to the Cinemark at the mall, which is just down the road from our hotel.
Across the street from the mall.
At 11:50 a.m., which is now the time that both of us go to see movies. We go in the morning.
Yeah. Freelance lifestyle, baby.
And we thought we were going to be the only people in the theater. There was a scowly man sitting down the road from us who seemed upset that we talked during the trailers and during the end credits of Rampage. No end credit scene that I saw.
I don't give a shit if there was. We stayed until the lights came up, and that was like, it was all I could do to not get out of my seat. About 20 minutes before the movie ended.
There were a couple other people in the theater, but a pretty sparsely attended showing.
There were all told 5 of us, because there was an older couple, like in their 60s, off to see Rampage on a Friday morning. There was the other gentleman who was there first. Here's what's weird. 50 seats in this theater. Small theater, all assigned seating, all electric reclining seats.
The Cinemark way.
It's assigned seating, so you choose your seat when you buy your ticket. It gives you, it's like buying a seat on an airplane.
Correct.
We're in row D, seats 6 and 7, the place you want to be to watch a movie. A little bit high up, dead center.
Yep.
That's where you want to be.
Yep.
My dude was in the same row as us, on the extreme left.
On the end
of the aisle. He clearly got there first, because we arrived about 15 minutes early.
Yeah.
He was in there already.
Weird.
Yeah. Why would you choose that seat?
No idea. That's the seat you would go to if you were movie hopping, Like, if you left the showing of the movie you paid for and slipped into another theater to watch a movie you didn't pay for. But he was there before any of us, and it was 11:50 in the morning, so he was definitely not doing that.
And those matinees are $5.
Let's get into Rampage. There's a cold open in space.
In space, which is probably, honestly, probably the best part of the movie.
But it makes no fucking sense.
Oh, no, it doesn't. No, it does not.
A scientist on a space station.
We also get an epigraph before the cold open.
There's an epigraph.
The cold open.
There's an epigraph that seems as though it's telling you actual real historical information, but it's totally made up. It's stuff about, like, in the 80s, this program.
1993.
Oh, the 90s, sorry.
Yeah.
This program
called CRISPR.
CRISPR, without an E.
Yeah.
Was created as, like, this genetic engineering program to enhance living creatures. In 2016, it was stopped by the government because it was too dangerous.
Yeah. So this company built a space station and sent a team of scientists into space to work on it?
Yes, because it was illegal to work on it in the United States, I suspect.
I have questions.
Yeah. Like, why couldn't you just build a lab in China?
Also, they're clearly working on it in Chicago.
Still.
Spoiler warning, they have, like, the shit in Chicago. Second, when does this movie take place? I guess it takes place in 2018, right? Because they say they fired...
You would think.
Naomi Harris 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Does this take place in a world where there are commercial spacecraft? That the government didn't...
This is definitely a privately owned space station.
Privately owned space station. Athena 1.
Here's how you know it's a privately owned space station. The space station explodes because a giant rat that the scientists were working on, gets loose in the space station, starts wrecking shop. One scientist...
I would say goes on a rampage.
Sure. Tearing up the space station, one scientist gets in an escape pod with the samples of the stuff that they're trying to study.
But they initially lock her out of the escape pod. They won't unlock the escape pod.
They won't let her leave without the research.
Yeah.
So she gets the samples. She gets in the escape pod. The rat claws at the window of the escape pod. So as she's leaving, the window bursts open. Escape pod explodes. But the samples fall to Earth. Mm-hmm. The only reason any of this takes place in space is so the samples can land in different places.
Right.
But they only land in the United States.
Yes.
One lands in the Everglades.
Yeah.
One lands in Wyoming.
Wyoming.
And one lands in San Diego.
And lands in the San Diego Zoo.
In the San Diego Zoo.
Bad place for it to land.
That's true. So the reason we know this is a privately owned space station, we're skipping ahead a little bit. There's this brother and sister. They own the company that have been doing the research and that own all this stuff that mutates animals.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember their names.
Her name's Claire, and that's Malin Ackerman.
That's Malin Ackerman.
Who you remember from...
Silk Spectre.
Yeah, she was in the Watchmen movie.
Yeah.
She was Silk Spectre. The guy is another... Like, he's a character actor.
He's an actor you see everywhere.
Yeah. He's genuinely very funny.
He's the comic relief of the movie.
Because he's just a real piece of shit.
A super big piece of shit.
He's got awful hair, and he is basically playing the character whose dad is going to shut down the ski school.
Very much so.
Yeah. He's the son of the businessman in a Slobs vs. Snobs comedy. And he's, like, weirdly always eating. Like, he's doing, like, a Brad Pitt Ocean's 11 thing where he's always eating.
He's also always sweaty.
Because
he's either sweating because the FBI is investigating, or he's sweating because he had to come down 80 flights of stairs in the Willis Tower, because so much of this movie takes place in the Willis Tower in Chicago. He's sweating all the time, and he's eating all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta say, quick sidebar. Malin Ackerman has a real Lucy Lawless thing going on when she's got dark hair.
Well, she's also got a Lucy Lawless thing in that she's doing a very fake American accent.
Yes, there's also that. But like, I was watching, so I was like, you know, Millen Ackerman could be like a new Xena.
Sure.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be against it.
I would not be against it.
Anyway, their names are like Wortham or something like that.
Something. It's not Wortham, but it's like Worthington or
something like that.
Yeah.
But one confusing aspect of the movie is that their company is called like Gene Tech.
Cyberdyne. This is no Cyberdyne's from. Cyberdyne, I believe, is from Cyberforce.
It's from Terminator.
Is Cyberdyne from Terminator?
Okay. Yeah.
Cybernet is from Youngblood.
Okay. Their company's called... It's got Gene in the name.
Yeah.
And then their offices don't have that company name. It has their name Technologies.
Yes.
Which... Why would you do that?
I think maybe that might be a Blackwater Academy situation. Maybe.
I mean, you do get the sense that they own an umbrella corporation that owns lots of subdivisions.
Yes.
But that is way too nuanced for this movie.
Yeah.
Just call it one company.
Just call it one company. Because this movie's fucking confusing. People's names aren't mentioned.
Oh, I hardly know any character's name.
Yeah.
I know The Rock's character's name, and that's maybe it.
Yeah.
His name is Davis Okoye.
Yeah.
Because this motherfucker with his fucking Samoan tattoos on his arms is supposed to be from sub-Saharan Africa.
Which we never see. We never see, like, we see...
There is one flashback.
His tattoos. We see hints of his tattoos, but he's wearing a very small white t-shirt the whole time.
That's true.
But yeah.
Anyway, the point I was going to make about the space station being private, the first scene we see of the brother and sister, who are the villains of the movie, mm-hmm. is them talking about, like, our space station exploded. We've lost billions of dollars.
The
sister walks in and says, tens of billions, actually.
Every fucking spoken line of dialogue in this movie is unnecessary.
It made me cringe. All the dialogue is so bad.
There's so much dialogue in this movie. It's like, we'll go in there, and this is what we need. It's people, like, describing the actions they are taking as they take them, which is maddening to watch.
Because nobody talks like that.
Nobody talks like that.
And
that you said, that's a really human thing to ask.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So, and the best example of it is coming very soon. So, after the whole space station thing, we cut to the San Diego Zoo. The Rock, who is a primatologist, that's his character.
I do want to spoil this. He's a primatologist who works with gorillas who know full sign language. I'll get to that in a minute. But he works with gorillas. Also, he's ex-Special Forces who worked with the United Nations Anti-Poaching Task Force.
Yeah, he worked with the Anti-Poaching Task Force. So all the gorillas that he has brought to the San Diego Zoo are orphans who have been – their families were killed by poachers. Is there a real U.S. Army Anti-Poaching Task Force?
United Nations is what it said. He was Army Special Forces, transferred to the United Nations. I would buy that there's a United Nations Anti-Poaching Task Force.
Okay.
I would buy that. I don't know if that's for real, but I would buy it.
Okay. So he is leading a group of – one is like his assistant, and then there's these two students.
Yeah. Fucking Connor.
A guy named fucking Connor and a girl with like some pink highlighted hair.
Gwenpool,
who you thought was going to be a main character in the movie and then is not.
Yeah, you absolutely think she's going to be a main character because she's like the promising young student who is mega horny for The Rock.
She disappears.
Water drops emoji, eggplant emoji, tongue emoji, peach emoji.
Absolutely.
That's her. There's a scene. You left.
I had gone to the bathroom.
You had gone to the bathroom at this part. You dipped out real early in this movie.
I drank a lot of cherry coke.
Yeah. There's a part where she is like, hey, I'd really like to learn more about submission techniques if you're not doing anything later. And then she, like, bites her lip like a cartoon character. She's like,
Did he put her in the sharpshooter then?
No. Well, you know, he's not very good at that one.
He's not.
He's not.
It was the submission he used all the time, though.
Yeah. But that sets up a thing that comes later. Where the little nerdy sidekick guy, Skinny Wayne Knight, is trying to get him to say yes to going on a date with Gwenpool, who seems like she is his student, or at the very least, like a new
trainee,
subordinate coworker.
Yeah,
which is not like which she comes off as like a college student.
Her and Connor both,
yeah,
seem like students.
Yeah.
it's never really totally explained what they're there for. There's a whole thing where Connor's trying to impress the girl and is telling her all these fake stories. The Rock puts up his hand like there's an emergency and they need to stop. And then he says something like, I just want to stop these bullshit stories that Connor's telling.
So you got
to
watch out for all this monkey shit that he's dropping.
Yeah. Then they get to the gorilla enclosure. It's like a weird red herring that they're in a jungle at all, because they're not in a jungle. They're in San Diego.
Yeah.
They're just going to a gorilla enclosure, and they stop this conflict between several of the gorillas.
Yeah. The new young orphan gorilla is named Pablo, I think, or
Paulo?
Pavo?
Something? Pavo. It's Pavo.
And then, like, the older gorilla comes out, and it's George, and he's an albino gorilla who looks exactly fucking like Ron Perlman. I don't mean that in a rude way. He looks exactly like fucking Ron Perlman.
You think Ron Perlman did the motion capture?
I would not be surprised if Ron Perlman did the motion capture. Did you see it? Am I insane?
No, you're not wrong.
He looks exactly like him. When you watch this movie, you'll be like, that's Ron Perlman.
Okay, here's what's weird about this scene. It's very involved. We learn a lot about Pavo. We learn a lot about the other gorillas in the enclosure. We learn about – Chris is signing right now. We learn a lot about George and his background and how he's got to care for Pavo because Pavo is new and he's learning the ropes. And none of it matters to the movie at all.
None of it matters except to establish
– that George is the smart, empathetic gorilla.
George and Davis Okoye, a.k.a. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, have a bond.
Yes.
They have a bond. Like when – like, in the scene is where The Rock is kind of like, hey, you have to take him into your family because his family was killed like your family was killed, and I took you into my family. That's not stated, but it's – you get it from that part.
Some of it is.
Here's the other thing that happens in this part. George signs, and The Rock signs back to George. I'm sure you've all heard of Coco, the famous signing gorilla. Coco, very interesting. I would encourage you to go read about Coco. It's, like, really – like, interesting the way she communicated. She was not completely 1,000,000% fluent in, like, slang. Like, they're signing things like, they sign, like, colloquialisms at each other. Like, George signs in complete sentences.
Also, The Rock doesn't have to sign to the gorillas. He can just talk to them, and they obey his orders.
But he has this, like, weird – it's like a weird pattern where he's like, calm, calm. Are you okay? Calm.
Yeah.
Like, he has keywords. But then George is doing stuff like flipping him off because he thinks it's funny, and they, like, dap a little bit.
They definitely dap.
They definitely dap.
He tells the other gorillas, go back to the
– station.
The station. And they run off.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very good. Like, we can tell he's a very good gorilla trainer. I buy all of this. I just think it's worth noting that George is like person smart at the start of the movie.
Definitely. So after we're introduced to all of this, the canisters of the experimental material from space fall in the places we talked about, the Everglades. An alligator comes up to this burning hot metal container that just came out of space from reentry and just eats the shit out of it without dying. Mm-hmm. A wolf in Wyoming gets the one that fell there.
Yeah.
And George finds the one that falls in San Diego.
And it's like kind of like gas. It's kind of like aerosolized.
Yes.
Which is a weird thing, but it like kind of like poofs in his face.
I mean, I guess you could assume that it's pressurized and the pressure got built up from the fall from space or something.
Like that's beyond the scope of this film.
It really is. So after that happens, we see our other lead character who lives in Los Angeles, Kate.
Yeah.
Played by Naomi Harris. She's got some scientific job. We don't even really find out what that job is.
Yeah.
But she's getting called by her boss because she's late. The call wakes her up. She's like, oh, shit. She gets up. She's getting dressed really quick. She's lying to her boss saying that she's on the freeway coming to work. She's, like, looking for old coffee cups to find some coffee to drink before she leaves.
Which was gross.
Super gross.
Which is fucking super gross. Like, she has, like, three, like, old Starbucks cups on her counter. She like grabs one and shakes it, and it's empty. She grabs another, shakes it, and sends me. She grabs like a third. If a Starbucks cup is out of my sight for 10 minutes, that it's a fucking loss. It is gone. I don't know what's in there anymore.
Yeah.
Let alone days. At least asleep.
She's lying to her boss. Finally, she turns on the TV. This part is so weird. I think this movie was edited by a student. Because
there's so much stuff that like we don't see that maybe we should.
Well, this part is like an editing mistake. Because she's on the phone. She's talking to her boss. Then she clearly is not on the phone anymore. She's not holding it anymore. She seems to have ended the conversation with her boss. She turns on the TV. She does the shit with the coffee. She's seeing stuff on TV about these canisters falling out of the sky because they've noticed the wolf. They've seen the wolf.
They've seen the wolf.
Then as she's seeing that on TV, she's realizing what's happening. And because she used to work for GeneTech or whatever the company's called. Genentech? I feel like I'm getting there.
I feel like Genentech might be like a Marvel UK bug.
Could be. But then she realizes what's going on and she's like, I got to go to San Diego because they say one of them fell in San Diego.
Yeah.
Then she has the phone back in her hand and she's suddenly talking to her boss again.
Yeah. Now there weirdly was, it's hard to hear, but there weirdly was like chatter from her boss like on the other line. Like, why are you calling me? Like the whole time.
It's so weird.
The phone is absent. The voice is there.
That feels like the sound people trying to fix an editing mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she gets in her car. She's going to San Diego. Back in San Diego, George has busted out of the gorilla enclosure and has gone into a grizzly bear enclosure.
You're talking about the most dominant land predator there is?
The most dominant terrestrial predator in the world.
In the world.
That's a line The Rock says about a grizzly bear later in the movie.
I feel like everybody going into this movie knows grizzly bears are tough.
Yeah, you don't need that explained. Yeah. But they go into where the grizzly bears are. George has killed a grizzly bear because they got into a fight. He's like hunched down under in a cave sort of thing. He's wounded. He's been scratched by the bear. Rock is trying to get him out of there. Finally, he comes out. He stands up where he was about 7 feet tall. Now he's more like 9 feet tall.
Yes.
9, 10 feet tall.
6 cubits in a span.
Certainly 6 cubits in a span. And The Rock and his assistant, who has a gun trained on George, both notice this. Rock tells him to put the gun down. Rock calms him down and says they're going to work on this. Then the assistant says one of the worst lines in the movie, which is, hey, is it just me or did he get bigger?
I believe the line is significantly larger.
Significantly larger, which is a worse wording.
Uh-huh.
And we already fucking saw that he's bigger.
It's like there's camera work involved. Like
they reacted to it already.
And later on, The Rock specifically says, like, the reason we know it's 7 feet to 9 feet is that The Rock specifically says, yesterday he was 7 feet and 400 pounds. Now he's 9 feet and 500 pounds. He says that not 5 minutes later.
Yeah. After Kate shows up at the zoo and says, yes, I work for GeneTech, and I think I know what's going on. I think that George, is he getting big? Well, first she says, I can't talk about it, yeah. Right? Rock's like, can you tell me what's going on? Can you help George? And she's like, no, I can't talk about it. Then she immediately starts talking about it.
Yes.
She's like, has he gotten bigger? Is he more aggressive? Are his wounds healing faster? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And Rock is like, yeah. So they take her in to see George, and that's when he explains all the growth that's been happening. And then she just spills the fucking beans immediately.
Here's what's fucking buck wild, right? The way that she explains this secret program that was shut down by the government is she gets out her iPhone and types that shit into Wikipedia and shows The Rock a Wikipedia article that explains in detail what this secret weapon of mass destruction government genetic test, like, editing can do.
And how it gives every creature all these elements of different animals.
Yeah.
Like the growth ability of the rhino beetle and the healing power of, I don't remember, some kind of lizard.
She's like sharks never stop growing.
Sharks never stop growing.
We took that. We took indeterminate growing and gave it to them. And then we gave it the growth rate of a blue whale. And then we gave it the strength of a rhino beetle. It's 100% that scene from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie where the lady is talking about all the shit that spiders can do.
That's true.
It's exactly what it is.
But it's like sectioned off into the different animal powers that they're imbuing animals with.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Malin Ackerman, the two evil brother and sister who own the company, they're trying to recover some of these canisters so they can recover some of their money from all of this. Mm-hmm. So there's another terrible line where Malin Ackerman is like, remember that private military contractor we bought last year? You know, you called them Soldiers R Us. Well, he's the R Us.
Actually, he's the soldier. He's the killer. He's the other thing. Like, he's not the R Us part.
Anyway, is Joe Manganiello.
Yeah.
They send Joe Manganiello
with
a cool scar and a team of guys in a helicopter to Wyoming to try to recover this wolf.
They do the entirety of Predator in about 4 minutes.
Yeah. So the wolf, long story short, kills all of them.
Yeah. Bye, Joe Manganiello.
Bye, Joe Manganiello. So they don't get the wolf back. Somehow, though, the U.S. government beats the brother and sister to the punch on George. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows about the alligator yet, by the way.
Nobody knows about the alligator. They don't know about the alligator until the climax of the movie.
Yeah. But George, the U.S. government goes to him, not the brother and sister.
Well, because he gets out of the, like, he gets out of where they're, like, keeping him.
Out of the zoo.
Strong. He gets out of the zoo. And immediately starts fucking shit up. I don't know if this is where he starts murdering people. He does smash a car.
He's knocking cars around. Yeah.
But, like, charitably, this is the last monster scene where people are not dying by the dozens.
Yeah. And a guy in a police helicopter with a tranquilizer gun shoots him with, like, 30 tranks.
And The Rock's like, calm.
And George goes down. They put George on a military plane. For reasons that are never explained, both The Rock and Naomi Harris are put in zip ties, like handcuffs, and taken on the plane also.
Yeah, they're arrested by the soldier guys are DHS. They're Homeland Security. It is never, we don't know about our special guest star coming up, whose presence I was not aware of.
It's they go out of their way to not say what government agency he's with, because Rock, it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, it's Chambers.
It's Negan / Chambers. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You know that if you listen, you'll get that if you listen to our bonus content, which is a weird thing to say.
It's Chambers. It's the boy doing an accent that is, you said Huckleberry Hound.
He sounds like Huckleberry
Hound. He's supposed to be from Texas.
He's supposed to be a cowboy.
Yeah. And he's wearing, like, he's got like a Longhorn belt buckle and like a pearl handled.
He's got a pearl handled
automatic, like in a holster, like on the front.
Yeah, it's not a side holster. Yeah. It's on his belt.
He's supposed to be from Texas, and the Texas accent that he's doing is fucking Jackie Gleason and Smokey and the Bandit.
It's not even that Texas-y, though. It's just Southern. It's just Huckleberry Hound. It's like cartoon Southern.
It's like cartoon Southern, but there's a part where, when they're stealing the helicopter later, where he's like, well, I do declare y'all stealing a Woily Boy. It's the wildest shit in the world. It has gotten me excited to see if Negan is Southern.
Is Negan Southern?
Because Chambers is.
Chambers definitely is.
Yeah.
Chambers is the second Negan, in case you need to know.
He's got two. Never mind.
He's got two bats.
Never mind. Okay, so Jeffrey Dean Morgan walks off that plane, and like for the first time in this movie, I'm excited. And he starts being like, he at one point literally says, "Like my grandpappy used to say."
He does say grandpappy.
Literally says that.
Oh, one thing we should note: there's a cameo that occurs in the part where the brother and sister are watching the whole wolf operation happen, because there's a Rampage arcade game in the office.
Yes.
Which seems like a weird choice to make.
It's a very weird choice, because, okay, I want to save this for the end, because I think there's a giant mutant elephant in the room, which is that this is a video game movie, and I want to get into that.
Okay, we'll get into that.
But I think we got to get into all that together.
Yeah, we'll get into that together. I would agree.
So, Jeffrey Dean Morgan comes out, and for some reason, like, we don't see... All the Rock wants to do is go with George. He is willing to go with George. And Naomi Harris seems very willing to tell the guys what's going on, because she...
I understand why she got arrested, because there's an idea that she is somehow culpable for what's happening. But... The Rock has done nothing wrong.
No. Calm.
There's no reason he should be arrested here.
This is where we find out. Jeffrey Dean Morgan tells us that Naomi Harris used to work for Cybergenes.
Cybergene. Maybe it is Cybergene.
It might be Cybergene.
Yeah.
2 years ago, but she got fired. She tried to do, like, corporate espionage because she was trying to, like, get information, steal hard drives and evidence. So she spent 13 months in prison. But the reason she did that is because her brother died.
Was dying.
He was dying of cancer, and everything that she was trying to do was to, like, get him. Because we see, like, a picture of him in the hospital back at her apartment. So all of her experiments were trying to benefit people with...
Trying to cure cancer, basically.
And every time she would do something, they would, like, edit it into this, like, chimera monster that they were making.
Into a weapon.
Yeah. So, but she apparently did not tell them that in court, or didn't go to anyone. She just got fired and tried to steal hard drives, and then
just got convicted with no defense.
Yeah, I guess I can buy that. You know, they're too rich and powerful, because Jeffrey Dean Morgan is constantly talking about how they think they above the law.
We got to talk about when Jeffrey Dean Morgan shows up. The Rock is immediately, like, suspicious of him. He doesn't like him very much, and he goes, "So what are you, CIA? DEA? What's going on with you?" Jeffrey Dean Morgan kind of grins and goes, "Oh, my friend, I know about you. Special forces in the army. Working on the UN anti-poaching task force. Oh, you got a reputation, my friend. You don't like people very much, do you?" By the way, there's a whole thing in this movie about how Davis Okoye doesn't like people.
That's the thing that you missed out when you went to the bathroom, was when Gwenpool asks him out. His little assistant buddy comes over after he turns her down, and he's like, "Hey, I'm the only one who's willing to say this to you because you're the Rock, but it's really weird that you prefer to hang out with animals to people." Because the Rock's like, "Yeah, I'm just going home to my dogs."
There's nothing in his behavior, per se, to indicate that he hates people. It's just something that gets repeated over and over again.
And it's just like, he's like, "Yeah, with animals, you know where they stand, where you stand. They either like you or they eat you."
Yeah.
And he's like, he tells Naomi Harris one, but he's like, "Yeah, you lied to get what you want, just like humans." You're human.
You're human.
It's like some Star Trek shit.
That's what leads to the most natural question anybody could ask, which is, what is it about you that makes you not like people so much?
So
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, after Rock asks him what agency he's with, he goes, "I'm OGS." And Rock goes, "I remember when people used to say that from my army days." Or not OGS, OGA.
OGA.
"I remember when people used to say that, other government agency." And Jeffrey Dean Morgan just kind of goes, and then never says what organization he's with.
Yeah, it's like, I think they think, it's the same shit that happens with Kurt Russell in
the Fast movies,
but it's so much better there. And I don't think it's better because Kurt Russell is inherently a better actor than Jeffrey Dean Morgan, although he is.
Yeah, he is.
I think it's better because the Fast and Furious movies are elegant.
Yeah. And this movie is nothing but inelegant. There's also a thing where he says, if there's a science problem...
Yeah, if science shits the bed, I'm the guy they call to change the sheets.
To change the sheets.
Which is... Okay, I would, if you told me going into this movie, yeah, this movie's about Jeffrey Dean Morgan and his team of mad scientist hunters, I'd be like, fucking, I don't want to pay $5 to see this movie. I want to pay $20 to see this movie. I want to give you the price of 4 matinee tickets, please.
So Rock is screaming at Jeffrey Dean Morgan, we got to get George off of this plane. It's not safe for him to be on this plane. He shouldn't be on this plane. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's like, we've got it.
We'll see.
We've got it.
We got it. Down here in Savannah, Georgia.
He's on a sedative drip.
We've accounted for the extra blood cells.
We've accounted for his rate of growth.
Now, get on that plane so I can get me a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pill.
Long story short, George bursts out of his cage.
Because Malin Ackerman and her brother flip the switch. This is the dumbest fucking plan in the world.
This is why their office is in the Willis Tower in Chicago. They go to the top of Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower, which I think it's changing its name from the Willis Tower too, but whatever. They go to the top of the tower. They turn on an antenna that they just own. They own an antenna on top of Willis Tower.
She says, fortunately for us, this building has some of the most powerful radio antennas in the world. And then she puts her thumbprint on the antenna and it opens up and a, like, computer comes out so that she can, like, activate Ghost Protocol or whatever. Oh, it's Rampage is what it is. Because the name of the experiment is Rampage, and the fact that they have a copy of Rampage, I feel like means they were inspired by the game Rampage in the movie Rampage.
Yeah, you would think at some point they would be like, this is just like that game we love.
There should be a third one.
They should be like, we did it. We did it. We achieved our goals.
Yeah. Sidebar, we saw a trailer for Wreck-It Ralph 2, and I can't wait to see what video games he's not in that movie.
That movie looks mega bad. I liked the first Wreck-It Ralph.
I hated it.
The second one,
candy movie.
The second one looks very terrible.
Oh, you don't want to see Ralph go to YouTube?
Go to the internet?
Yeah, it looks like fucking the Emoji Movie where they had to escape from the emojis and get to Dropbox.
Is that what that movie's about?
Yeah.
Woof.
I read 26 articles about the Emoji Movie when it came out.
All right, we're getting off the track here. Yeah,
so
they turn on this antenna that releases a sonic message.
It's some kind of like low frequency radio signal.
It's sonar.
They're hardwired.
Well,
because it's bat sonar.
It's bat sonar because we find out from Naomi Harris later that they included bat stuff in the genetic engineering so that they could essentially control the animals they created with sound.
Yeah. They're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. They'll be, whenever they hear this, they're hardwired to come to it and destroy it.
No matter what.
No matter what. This is a fucking stupid plan. Because Malin Ackerman's like, yeah, we'll just lure him into Chicago. The government will kill him. We'll collect the samples, and then we'll sell Rampage on the black market.
And the brother's like, and we'll make a shit ton of money.
Yeah. They specifically say they're going to come at this thing until they destroy it. It's not like until we turn it off. It's literally, they're going to destroy it and nothing will stop them. And it's where we live. It's in our building. It's where our offices are.
Our offices are here.
Yeah, in the middle of Chicago.
Yeah, in the loop.
This makes sense if it...
There's a building I used to work in this movie that gets destroyed.
Just like it did in Transformers.
What is it about Chicago being the city in movies that gets destroyed all the time?
I mean, I would say it's New York that gets destroyed all the time.
I mean, I guess it is. I feel like lately, though, Chicago gets destroyed in movies a lot.
Well, it's probably cheaper to film there.
Also, I guess
Atlanta should be getting fucked up.
You would think so. But I guess it is. Chicago is specifically in this movie because of Willis Tower.
Yeah.
Because obviously they didn't want to have what happens to Willis Tower in this movie happen to One World Trade Center.
I have some complicated feelings about that. But yes, there's a way to make this make sense. Where it's like, yeah, the experiment was we make these super, like, kaiju animals, and then we, like, send a radio signal in on a missile. And so, like, the missile lands, and we're basically, you know, that's the target area, and then we unleash these things, and then when it's done, it stops. This is just like, yeah, we're going to bring, like, hey, everybody, we're just going to bring Godzilla to the building where we are, where all of our stuff is.
Yeah. So George busts out of his cage. The plane.
He's doing just fine.
Everybody dies on the plane.
Gotta get it out.
Everybody on the plane dies except for The Rock, Naomi Harris, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, whose name I never learned.
I think his name is Russell, actually. His name is Russell.
I think you're right. Agent Russell.
Agent Russell. Agent Kurt Russell.
Everybody.
Danny Duquette.
Everybody else on the plane dies. The Rock, Naomi Harris, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan manage to get out with parachutes by opening the back door as the plane's crashing. They get out, they land, the plane crashes. George lives and runs off because he's headed toward the signal.
Yeah.
The wolf is headed toward the signal. The alligator, without anybody knowing about it, is headed toward the signal.
Yeah, they're more or less in the Midwest at this point because they crash on farmland. They crash in Moody, Kansas.
And it's Iowa, yeah. So they're out there. There's several scenes where it seems like Jeffrey Dean Morgan has now come to an understanding with The Rock.
Well, because
like,
The Rock saves his life.
Rock saves his life.
And he goes, I want to thank you for saving my life. And The Rock goes, even assholes deserve a second chance. And that's when Jeffrey Dean Morgan goes, well, it's like my grandpappy used to say, us assholes gotta stick together.
Like a good biscuit to another biscuit. So
he ain't lying.
He ain't lying. There's a one scene between Naomi Harris and The Rock here where she's like, why you know like humans? And Rock's like, ugh, humans.
They get picked up by the army.
Yep.
And they get taken to an army base.
Yep.
Where a guy who for a second I thought was Carl Weathers, which would have been fucking amazing.
I thought this, I feel like this is bad and we shouldn't be saying this. For a second I thought he was Ernie Hudson. Because he's got that mustache.
Well, he's in the dark. He's in a room that's like for dramatic purposes. You know how military options they always turn the lights off.
Yeah, they do.
So he's only lit by screens.
Yeah,
and the camera comes around the side of his head, and he's got that mustache. And I was like, is that Carl Weathers? And then like, because they do Predator. The Joe Manganiello stuff is 100% Predator.
Yeah,
like down to like the guy making the Shane Black jokes.
Yeah.
So I was like, is there like a secret like Predator tribute in this? It's not. He's much younger than Carl Weathers. He's also much younger than Ernie Hudson.
Right. He's an actor I haven't really seen before, but he fits that mold.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's a Carl Weathers type.
Definitely. An Ernie Hudson type.
Yeah.
So
either one of those dudes would have been a welcome balm in this film.
Agreed. So they get into the army base. The colonel who's leading the operation is saying, like, this is a military operation. We don't need them here, pointing to Rock and Naomi Harris. And it's just like, we got it covered. We're just gonna hit the monsters with missiles as they go toward Chicago, and that's gonna deal with it. And we've got contingency plans, so get them out of here. Yeah. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan's like, these are the most knowledgeable people about these monsters in the world.
I feel like if people see this movie after hearing us talk about it, they're like, they're gonna be like, Jeffrey Dean Morgan didn't have a southern accent at all in this film. But like,
you need to listen to them about what they try to say.
Because also, this is where The Rock's like, wait, a gorilla and a wolf, they're traveling together in a straight line, like working together? That shouldn't be happening. Someone's controlling this. And that's when Naomi Harris is like, oh right, I forgot to tell you, they also have bad DNA.
Yeah, and they're going to Chicago. So, Rock and Naomi Harris they're told that they're going to be detained, but they're not going to be around to help. Meanwhile, there is an operation where they try to hit George and the wolf with missiles, and it doesn't work.
The team gets wiped out. Just like the Joe Manganiello team.
Right. Rock and Naomi Harris realize that they're going to have to go to Chicago because, according to Naomi Harris, there's a cure for this stuff in the headquarters of the corporation, but they're going to have to go get it.
Yeah.
So
meanwhile, the FBI has raided the building and taken all the hard drive and like all their servers, all their hard drives. None of that actually ends up mattering.
Doesn't come to fruition.
Warning, Mellon Ackerman and her brother do not go to court at the end of this movie.
They absolutely do not. The Rock and Naomi Harris get led away by soldiers to wherever they're going to be detained. Some, like, a brig or whatever. As they're being led away, The Rock pulls some shit that makes these soldiers look like the biggest fucking amateurs.
Yeah, he pro wrestles them.
He pro wrestles them. He chokes one of them out. And he even tells them, like, hey, just let us go and I won't beat you up. And they're like, no, come on. We got to go. And he goes, I'm going to do it. And it's going to be in front of this lady.
Yeah.
So he tries to shame them and, like, talk them out of taking them away. And then he just beats them up.
Yep.
And then she goes, that was a little harsh. And he goes, I didn't kill him.
Yeah. So then he's like, now we got to get out of here. And then Harris goes, well, they should have a chopper landed on standby for medevac at the hospital. And the Rock goes, that's why you bring along a doctor. Okay, A, you don't usually bring along a doctor for their helicopter knowledge. B, she's not that kind of doctor.
She's not a medical doctor.
She's not a medical doctor. She says specifically she has, like, PhDs in genetic engineering and, like, but she's not a doctor, and he was Army Special Forces. He should know where they keep the medevac helicopter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Of all the ways to, like, give her something to contribute to this scene, I don't know why that they chose that one.
And his comment makes no fucking sense.
No fucking sense. So then they get to the helicopter, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan shows up, and I cannot stress enough that he calls it a whirly bird.
Yes.
A whirly bird. I can't, like, it's bananas. And then, in what I think is an actual pretty funny moment about how fucking stupid this movie is, he gives The Rock the keys to the helicopter.
Yep.
And he goes, which, first of all, I didn't know you start a helicopter with keys, but he also goes, this ain't no truck stop. They don't leave it under the dashboard.
Under the visor.
Under the visor. Like, do they really start helicopters with keys? I mean, I believe it, but I don't know.
Pretty sure the answer is
no. He never starts another helicopter with keys of the several helicopter trips he takes throughout the movie.
That's true. There's also a whole thing about, like, how he kind of doesn't know how to fly a helicopter, even though he's acting like he does know how to fly one.
He used to know, and now it's all coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. So they fly their helicopter to Chicago. The military are going to Chicago. And George and the Wolf have shown up. And they're... Ralph is the Wolf.
Yeah, Ralph's the Wolf.
They have shown up in Chicago. They are at that same fucking intersection that's in every movie.
Yep, it's in Dark Knight. It's in Transformers.
It's, I think that might be State Street. I know that's Wacker Drive, Lower Wacker Drive, going along there.
Yeah.
Also, there's a pretty hilarious shot of George, like, knocking the shit out of a Dave & Buster's.
It was hilarious because the Dave & Buster's logo basically flies at the camera.
Yeah. There's not a Dave & Buster's there.
Not anymore.
Not, but there never was. But just FYI, there's not a Dave & Buster's there.
If you're on your Rampage tour, you want to go see all the locations that are mentioned by name in the film Rampage because you're a big Ramhead.
Big Ramhead.
Big Pageaholic. Then don't go looking for that Dave & Buster's.
Here is something that is absolutely wild and maybe the most nonsense thing in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There is discussion after the operation to shoot the monsters with missiles doesn't work, where they're saying, okay, we're going to the contingency plan. Evacuate Chicago, the entire loop and some of the surrounding area. Evacuate it. Then once it's evacuated, we're going to hit it with missiles.
Airstrike.
An airstrike.
They're going to drop a MOAB, the mother of all bombs.
That's right.
Which is the largest non-nuclear bomb.
Right.
On the loop.
Yes.
On downtown Chicago.
Yes. This is in a matter of, charitably, several hours. It would take so long to fully evacuate the loop. To get all of those people out. And yet, the military is convinced that within the amount of time it takes The Rock to fly a helicopter from wherever that military base is in the Midwest to Chicago, like 2 or 3 hours maybe, they can evacuate the city and then drop MOABs on it without killing anybody.
Yeah. To be fair, they do have a kaiju situation.
They do have a kaiju situation.
They have an MKS.
Yes.
A multiple kaiju situation.
That's right.
Yeah.
An MMKS. Multiple mega kaiju situation.
An MDKS. A multiple dikaiju. If you really want to get technical.
Sure.
Japanese.
Absolutely.
An MMFS. A multiple megafauna situation.
They show up. There's rampaging that is occurring. Finally, there is rampaging.
They're kind of doing the stuff you do in the video game, like climbing up buildings and smashing windows.
They don't really climb up any buildings except Willis Tower.
Yeah, but it's a big one.
It's a big one. They climb Willis Tower. They get to the top.
They are murdering so many people.
Oh yeah, because the alligator shows up, which is a big surprise to everyone.
They're like, we got a bogey coming in down the river, and it's big.
We don't have any submarines in the area.
They don't keep submarines in the Great Lakes. What's the river
that's Chicago? That's Chicago River. That's like not even. I mean, I guess it does come from Lake Michigan, possibly. Yeah, that's Lake Michigan. It's coming from Lake Michigan, and then it comes into the Chicago River. But like, one, that's the Army. They shouldn't know where submarines are or not. Two, hilarious. They'd be like, we don't have any submarines in the Chicago River.
Now, I recently went to Lake Superior, and it's very large, and I would believe you could put a submarine in there. I just don't know how you get it there.
Fair. Fair enough. The alligator comes out. The alligator's like three times as big as either George or
Ralph. This is Lizzie.
Lizzie is the alligator, yeah.
Who is never named. Who's never named in the film.
Is Ralph named?
Ralph is named, and I want to talk about that later.
Okay. So Lizzie comes out. Now there are three. They eventually start climbing the Willis Tower. Rock and Naomi Harris show up at Willis Tower. They're trying to find the cure. None of the computers are working because the FBI raided.
There's also a part where they're like, okay, land there. And he's like, cool, where's the lab? And she goes, it's on the 85th floor. And now, are there more than 170 floors on Willis Tower?
No.
Then they should land at the top on the helipad.
Yes.
They do not, which is wild. Because later on, the script requires there to be a helicopter on top of that building.
Yep.
Which you could very easily put there.
Yep.
Also, we do not see them go to the 85th floor of that building. And I'm not saying we need to see a Ghostbusters scene of
climbing stairs.
But multiple people go up and down 84 floors of stairs.
Plus the additional probably around 30-some floors, 30 to 40-some floors to get to the roof.
Yeah, like effortlessly, in seconds. Why don't you just land on top? Like, because here's the question. Do they take the elevator? Because they shouldn't take the elevator, because there's a fucking kaiju. There's three monsters doing rampage.
We have to assume nobody is using the elevators.
It would be so much better if there was a quiet scene of The Rock and Naomi Harris in an elevator.
Sure. That's the least of my problems with the movie, though.
Yeah, no, but it is a weird example of that editing thing where she's like, because we don't know they're on the 85th floor in the lab. The lab does not have to be on the 85th floor.
Absolutely not. It looks like it's on the ground floor.
Yeah. I thought they were on the ground floor in the next scene because there's like a window. Like, come around the corner. Like, here we are.
Yeah.
Like, why would you specify that and make the movie worse?
Don't know.
Anyway, so they get up there and they're looking around.
They're looking around. None of the computers are working. All the hard drives have been taken and everything. Finally, Naomi Harris is just like, they end up just like bursting through doors.
Oh, no. You skipped the most buck wild part of this entire movie.
Hit me.
Which has a 60-foot long alligator in it.
Hit me.
They go into the lab. Naomi Harris is like, they took all the hard drives. They took all the servers. There's nothing left that we can get the information out of. Except
the thermostat.
The thermostat. The thermostat is located inside the refrigerator. Did you notice that?
No.
She opens up the refrigerator, pulls out the thermostat, which is an iPad, which is currently displaying 39 degrees, and she sits on the table and goes, 40 degrees. So it's warming up. Then she goes, everything in the lab is on the same network. It's all interconnected. The FBI wouldn't have thought to to confiscate the thermostat, but because it's all networked, I can use it to hack the system and get the information we need. That's buck wild. Here's the wilder part. It doesn't work.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because later she's like, oh, I can't do it. Like, she's like, oh, I can't. We should knock that. We should, like, fucking kick in that door and just grab the stuff we need.
So they just burst through the doors.
Yeah. Why would you be like, I'm going to use the thermostat iPad that's in the refrigerator to hack the system?
And then have it not work.
And have it not work!
Eventually, they find, Rock is looking around.
Like, 6 credited writers on this movie, by the way.
Nutso. Eventually, they find this chilling unit, essentially, that has what they believe to be the antidote in it. As they're getting the antidote out, Malin Ackerman is there behind them. With a gun. And she says that it is not a cure, per se. It doesn't reduce the size of the creatures. It merely calms them down.
It takes away their overloaded aggression.
That's right. So, that's an important point. I forget how that standoff... Oh, she shoots the rock.
She shoots the rock.
Yeah.
She shoots him. Now, maybe 20 minutes into this movie, I leaned over to you...
Before it even started.
Did I just say it before it started?
Yes.
I leaned over to you and I said, the rock's going to get dosed with the pathogen, and we're going to have a giant-sized rock fighting a giant gorilla.
Because that's what you want.
Because that's what you want.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
I said put money down on it.
Okay, do you know what? And when the rock gets shot, Malin Ackerman very obviously shoots him
in the gut.
But like on the side, like kind of where your kidney would be, but not. Like, and he goes down.
It is not a shot to kill.
No. But we can assume that Malin Ackerman's just bad at shooting because she's 10 feet away from him.
And she thinks he's dead.
She thinks he's dead. And when that happened, you leaned over to me and you were like, here it comes.
Yeah, he's going to get dosed to stop him from bleeding out.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the only way you could die from that.
Yeah.
To stop him from bleeding out, rampage juice.
Rampage juice. The rock's going to get jacked up and like we're going to get the rock. I thought we were going to get the rock and George as a tag team fighting Lizzie and Ralph.
Yeah.
That doesn't motherfucking happen.
No.
At all.
They take Naomi Harris to the roof. There's some scuttling around. I think they're trying to turn off the antenna.
They're not trying to turn off the antenna. Malin Ackerman just wants to get on her helicopter and leave. And then they're all very surprised when the giant monsters show up to attack the antenna that's sending out the giant monster attack here signal.
Yeah.
She's like, huh. Then the rock shows up and goes, hey, it's okay. She missed all the vital organs. That's all the discussion of the rock being shot from 10 feet away.
He's still got a gunshot wound in his stomach.
But it's not like bleeding anymore. It's just like there's about like the size of a munchkin from Dunkin' Donuts, a Timbit.
A Timbit.
Canadian.
Yeah.
Like that size, like red stain on his tight white t-shirt that is no longer bleeding. It is not getting any bigger.
I thought for sure we were going to find out that he had somehow dosed himself.
That maybe he got it when he was handling the canister back at the zoo.
He very specifically goes out of his way to touch the canister with a plastic bag, though,
yeah.
So as to not touch it. But
it's like aerosolized, and he was he's the one who grabs it.
Yeah,
so like, you could write your way around it and be like, oh, it was like a low dose; it's slow acting, but now it's kicking in response to your body's needs. Whatever. Doesn't happen.
None of it happens.
The Rock just goes, oh yeah, I got shot. I'm fine. From that point, The Rock is in a helicopter crash, jumps out and falls about 30 feet off a smashed building, gets in like multiple like bumps and scrapes situations, and is completely no-selling all of it.
Totally fine by the end of it.
Hogan 86.
No, totally fine at the end of the movie.
No, so.
Malin Ackerman is about to kill, to shoot the rock again.
Yes.
And kill Naomi Harris too.
Oh, her brother's gone, by the way.
Her brother
decided to run down the stairs.
He's going to run downstairs.
Yeah.
She is up there and she's just like, I'm getting out of here. When these, when these monsters are dead, I'll just come get their corpses. I still own them.
Yeah.
I'll come get their corpses and get my money. And they have the antidote, or the semi-antidote. They put it in Malin Ackerman's purse. The chill pill.
Is what the brother calls it.
Okay. They put it in Malin Ackerman's purse and, like, push her back. And she's like, what are you doing? And the line here is so groany. It's Naomi Harris saying something like,
I'm feeding the monster to the gorilla.
I'm feeding the monster to the gorilla. George picks up Malin Ackerman and pops her like a jalapeno popper.
He like a piece of popcorn. He throws her in the air, and then she comes out of his mouth, and she goes, oh, shit, as she is eaten by George.
But in the process of her being eaten, he also eats the antidote.
Yeah, because we should say the antidote is, it's like a Novolog or a Lantus. It's like an insulin injector pen.
Yeah.
It's that size.
Yes. It's not that big.
Yeah.
But it's also not instantly acting. So Naomi Harris explains, oh, it's going to take like 10 minutes for this to happen. Meanwhile, Willis Tower is collapsing.
Yes.
We get a thing down at the bottom floor where the brother is talking to Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
How about you give me that little old laptop right there? And you just walk out the door.
Yeah, so he asks the brother, hey, give me the evidence that you have that you're obviously holding on to of all your wrongdoing.
Oh, also, Malin Ackerman has a pet rat that she's been, like, feeding that we, like, occasionally cut to.
That you also think is going to be something?
I also think it's going to be something. Because the first thing, the thing that happens in space is a lab rat is, like, man-sized.
Yeah, but
because he got dosed.
Guess what? It's nothing.
It's fucking nothing.
So Jeffrey Dean Morgan takes the rat. He takes the laptop. The brother goes running out thinking that he's free. And then is immediately crushed by scaffolding.
Yeah. Like just very cartoonishly, like it might as well have said like 16 tons.
Might as well have been a grand piano.
Yeah. And then they cut back to JDM for a comedy take.
He goes, oh brother, I'm gonna take a different exit.
It really does.
His actual line is, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And then he literally says, I'm gonna take a different exit.
So, at this point, like, The Rock's like, how long is it going to take? And Naomi Harris is like, oh, it's like 10 minutes. And he's like, we don't have 10 minutes. And I thought, like, I still thought that this was when he was going to be like, only one way to go. You got to dose me with Rampage juice, but give me the antidote so I keep my head.
Doesn't happen.
Instead, he's like, yeah, let's get in this broken helicopter that just got smashed up.
That doesn't have a tail.
And we'll ride it down the collapsing building.
Like riding an avalanche.
And he goes, yeah, you know, like riding an avalanche. And Naomi Harris goes, no, I actually don't know about that.
One of the better, probably an ad lib, because it's one of the better lines in the movie.
That's exactly what happens. Willis Tower collapses.
And they ride it down the avalanche. Yeah.
It's very 9/11-y.
Oh, boy.
I'll talk about it in a minute, but it's very 9/11-y.
Then there is considerably more rampaging around the city. Well, in the rubble, George is the first one to emerge.
Yeah.
And he comes out, and he's George again.
And he's telling fucking jokes. He signs, you look like shit, at The Rock.
Yes.
Who's standing there with his gunshot wound. And The Rock goes, I look like shit, you look like big shit. They're doing a bit.
They're yucking it up.
And George's like, hur.
Then the alligator and the wolf, who are also not dead, emerge.
You went to the bathroom again at this point.
I drank a lot of cherry coke.
You missed the wolf flying.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, at one point earlier in the movie, the wolf does fly.
Yeah.
But when it's killing the paramilitary guys.
But it full on like Steve Ditko Spider-Man costume, like flying squirrel membranes come out and it's like gliding around. And The Rock goes, of course the wolf can fly, which does not need to be said.
Eventually, Lizzie eats the wolf.
Yeah, because The Rock does a very classic pro wrestling ass, I'm going to duck, and you hit your tag team partner move.
Yeah.
Like, and again, The Rock is normal-sized The Rock, who has been shot at point-blank range with a pistol at this point. And so, like, Lizzie and Ralph start fighting, and then Lizzie tears off Ralph's head and again, like, does the, like, throw it in the air and eat it thing.
Woof.
Which is, like, pretty fucking bonkers.
Especially that since up to this point, they have not been fighting each other.
Yeah. But, like, I did not expect the wolf to get its head torn off and eaten. I don't know yeah. why I didn't expect that, but I didn't.
So now Lizzie is the big threat. George and The Rock are both trying to take down Lizzie. Lizzie eventually gets taken down by a series of grenade launcher shots, because mm-hmm. Rock has a grenade launcher now. Then he throws all the grenades into the gills that Lizzie has, even though alligators don't have gills.
Yeah, but it's less like a gill and more like the, what is it? Is it the Diplodocus that has the has like the umbrella frills?
But it opens up into its body.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's part of, like, the mutation
yeah.
that the alligator has, but it's weird. The alligator is the most different looking from an alligator that than either. George never gets those wild mutations.
Anything but a gorilla. Ralph has porcupine quills.
Yeah.
That he can launch off his tail.
George is just a gorilla. Like, he never gets those extra mutations.
Just a big old gorilla.
Just a big old gorilla. So he throws the grenades inside the gill thing. They explode. That hurts it. And then George just finally ends up beating the shit out of
George
Lizzie.
George impaled at one point and then pulls the spike out. And then when you think Lizzie's going to kill The Rock, George comes back and stabs Lizzie in the eye.
In the eye, yeah.
Which can, like, fairly graphic.
Pretty graphic. So then Rock is, like, George is, like, slumped over against a parking garage.
They call off the airstrike. They managed to call off the airstrike.
That's nuts. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
George is slumped over against a parking garage. Rock is talking to George. He's like, hey, we did it. Buddy, we did it. He's signing to him. He's like,
you saved me.
You saved me. Like, he's like having a heartfelt moment with George. Then George, like, slumps. Like, his arm is up, and then his arm goes down.
Yeah.
And he slumps.
And then Amy Harris is like, he's like, he saved you. And The Rock looks around at, like, mothers being reunited with their children. It's so fucking hack. And he goes,
because we didn't see those civilians yeah. up to now.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, he saved a lot of people. And this is a very quiet moment to mark George's passing. Except George was faking.
He was faking.
He was doing a bit.
He was doing another goddamn bit. And he asks if The Rock and Naomi Harris are friends. Rock says yes. Then he does, like, sex motions with his hands.
Yeah, he does the poke your finger in the hole yeah. motion.
And Rock's like, oh, don't do that. Be classy. Then Naomi Harris turns around and is walking away. And Rock, at full volume, he goes, haha, that was funny, George.
And she goes, I heard that. And he goes, shit, at the same volume.
Same volume.
Yeah. And then George is like, turn around and starts like helping people like get from like this smashed up building back to the ground. And we see a dude step into George's hand and get gently lowered to the ground. I wouldn't step in that fucking gorilla's hand.
Okay. I think I'm going to save this for low points. But the end of the movie is surreal.
It's bananas.
Because not only is George doing bits, Chicago's destroyed. Like, the Loop is mostly destroyed. The Willis Tower has collapsed.
Yeah.
Tons of people have died.
So many people have died. Soldiers, civilians, so many people have died.
George is doing bits, and we keep cutting to Jeffrey Dean Morgan doing this.
Yeah, everybody stands around. It's like if you intentionally wanted to make a scene go on uncomfortably long and cut to multiple people laughing.
But it's not raucous laughter. It's not like nervous laughter. It's polite laughter.
Yeah.
That movie ends with polite laughter.
Yes. Okay, so before we get into high points and low points, this is what I want to talk about. Rampage is a video game.
Yes.
The original Rampage, the arcade Rampage. There is a remake. Like a later era, like maybe GameCube or PlayStation era.
Yeah, there was a 3D Rampage.
Rampage 3D, yeah. But I feel like this is clearly inspired by the arcade Rampage.
Definitely.
Which is plotless.
Totally. You are the monsters, and you smash the building.
And you eat people.
Yeah.
And the buildings collapse, and you fight off helicopters and shit. it's weird what they kept from the games to build a plot around and what they didn't. Because in the games, Ralph, Lizzie, and George are people.
Who turn into monsters.
Turn into monsters.
Yes.
Like, they Hulk out. That's not the case here. They're animals.
Absolutely not.
Probably because George is more sympathetic as an animal.
Than a person, yeah.
A person. It's so weird that you can see the process of, like, well, he's obviously got to, like, reach into the building and eat a guy. He's obviously got to, like, grab this woman and eat her. You know, we've obviously got him climbing up the building and smashing windows as they go. We've obviously got to have the building collapse once it has sustained the damage. That's the weird thing about the Willis Tower falling down, is that it is a weirdly cinematic representation of exactly what happens in the game.
True.
The problem is that the cinematic representation of what happens in this game from the 80s is very 9/11-y.
Super 9/11-y.
Yeah, super fucking 9/11-y. But you can't, like, but I can, I feel like there had to have been a debate in the making of this movie where they were like, are we going to do, like, a fucking 9/11 thing with Willis Tower? And somebody being like, it's the only thing that happens in this game that has no plot. You bring down buildings. We have to do at least one. And then, like, that's madness.
The other thing about it is, if you're making a movie of Rampage the game, why is more than two-thirds of the movie about why this is happening instead of it just happening?
Yeah.
I don't care why it's happening. I don't care that goop came from space and turned these animals into monsters. They could just already be monsters for all I care.
Yeah. Also, why would you have The Rock as a human-sized The Rock fight these monsters?
Instead of a giant rock.
Instead of a giant
rock. Start with the monsters attacking cities and then work your way up to a giant rock fighting the monsters. If the way that you're going to adapt Rampage is to make it a kaiju movie, which is what it becomes.
Yes.
Then just do it. Go all out from the start. Instead of having all this dumb shit about, like, government program, gonna give them all the aspects of these other animals.
Yeah, why is the co-lead of this movie a scientist who doesn't actually really do anything?
Except explain stuff.
Except explain stuff. Not that I don't want Naomi Harris to get work, but, like, why couldn't The Rock be the scientist?
Well, and why couldn't she be tough?
Why couldn't she
plays Moneypenny, and she's the first tough Moneypenny.
She's fucking rad as Moneypenny. I have nothing but good things to say about Naomi Harris, even in this movie, like, where everything is bad.
Where she has nothing to do.
Where she has nothing to do. Like, Naomi Harris is great. But yeah, like, the whole scaffolding of this movie doesn't make sense. The other thing they bring from the game is the names.
Yeah.
They have names in the game because they're people.
Right.
George's name makes sense. Because he's a zoo animal. Zoo animals have names. You'd be like, oh yeah, that's George the albino gorilla.
Sure.
You know, The Rock found him in a jungle, and he's George from the jungle, everybody. Just give him a big hand.
Yeah.
Lizzie's never named.
Well, because Lizzie doesn't show up until almost the end of the movie.
But is never named.
Yeah.
Ralph is named. And the way Ralph is named is that Jeffrey Dean Morgan shows The Rock and Naomi Harris footage of this wolf attacking the army and goes, weirdo is on the internet, I calling him Ralph. And that's the only thing. Weirdos on the internet wouldn't fucking call him Ralph. They'd call him some Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah,
that's a dire wolf.
They'd be like,
dire wolf or fucking Jon Snow. That guy's name's Jon Snow.
I can't remember. Dire wolves have names in the books. They would have named him after one of the dire wolves in the books.
Ralph would not be his name.
Yeah.
There's no reason for his name to be Ralph. And I don't know why that's what I'm seizing upon. But, like, nothing, it is endemic of the rest of this movie that where nothing fucking makes sense. Nothing follows logically from one event to the next.
Chris, do we have any high points of Rampage?
There are moments. And again, there are at least five credited writers of this movie.
Yes.
There are moments where this movie knows how stupid it is.
Agreed.
And is willing to acknowledge it. In a way that's, like occasionally entertaining. And there are other moments, not to get into low points, there are other moments where it's trying to play itself completely fucking straight.
Yeah.
And you can't do both of those, but the moments where it's like, yeah, this is real dumb.
And we know it,
are okay.
The most favorable thing I can say about this movie is that it is visually competent.
I didn't think it looked that good.
It didn't look great, but I didn't notice any particularly bad special effects. The special effects for George were pretty good.
He does look like... He's very expressive. He looks like Ron Perlman.
He's expressive. He moves in a gorilla-like way.
Yeah.
And there's never a moment where I just, like, did not believe George.
They had the good sense to make all... Like when we see George in the enclosure at the beginning, they had the good sense to make all the gorillas computer-generated so we don't have a real gorilla to compare him to.
Yeah, that I feel like the visual effects people were the most competent at their jobs of anybody making this movie. Pretty clearly, the alligator was the hardest one to animate and the toughest one to deal with, so they didn't use Lizzie until the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And the stuff with Ralph, like, Ralph is fine. Ralph is fine.
I think, of the three monsters, looks the coolest.
Well, he's the most mutated. He's the most unreal.
Yeah.
Weirdly.
He's a wolf who can fly like a flying squirrel, but also, like, launch porcupine tails from his tail. That's, like, pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Some cool ideas.
Also, let's give every weird animal attribute to these animals is a decent enough premise for a monster movie. It's like, yeah, we fucked up and made a wolf that's as big as a blue whale that also has poison barbs. We've tampered in God's domain. Also, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. The accent is incredibly bad, but I found him to be very entertaining.
He's a high point by being such a low point.
He's phoning it in so hard.
You know what makes him a high point? He never takes it seriously.
No, he's the only character who is 100% in on the joke in every scene.
Like, he is fucking around through this whole movie.
Yeah. And, like, the accent's part of that, because it's weird and inconsistent, and you know he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He got Negan money. Low points.
There are a lot of low points in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Here is probably the strongest low point in the movie to me. Besides the dialogue, which is...
Dialogue's atrocious.
We've been over how bad the dialogue is.
You don't lose anything by making this a silent movie.
Pretty accurate, because... Can you tell me, aside from the very obvious, anything about the character of Davis Okoye? He's got a military background,
mm-hmm.
and he loves gorillas.
He's Volcel?
Is he Volcel?
According to his assistant, he never... Like, when Gwenpool asks him out, you were in the bathroom for this, all he does is he goes home and he hangs out with his dogs.
With his dogs. So he's just a lonely man?
Yeah, he doesn't like people.
He's just a lonely man.
He's on very good terms with, like, his friends and his coworkers. He seems well-liked.
That one assistant is...
Yeah.
And he seemed to get along okay. But, okay, aside from not having coffee to drink and being late for work, what can you tell me about Naomi Harris?
Her brother died. That, I think, is a low point. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, we know literally nothing about, except for his name's Agent Russell, and he works for the government.
OGA.
He gets to play it goofy. He gets to play it as silly as he wants, because there's nothing in his character. Naomi Harris can't, because she is given a character whose motivation is her brother died of cancer because these corporate fat cats were trying to steal her research. You can't play a comedy character with that background. You can't.
But... She only has one thing about her.
Yeah. So, like, she's... Like, I feel bad for... I mean, I'm sure she was compensated for her time and effort in this movie. But I feel, like, bad for her as an actress because she has nothing to seize on.
Yeah.
She can't be goofy like Malin Ackerman and her brother and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. She doesn't get any of the cool, fun action stuff like The Rock. All she has to do is be a character with a sad backstory in a stupid movie. That does not require her to have a sad backstory.
The other biggest low point, I think, and we've spoken to this to a degree, is tone. Because we talked about how it's the dumbest movie that ever was that takes itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the one moment it has earned a serious moment, it's the most tone deaf I've ever seen a movie be. At the ending.
Yeah, they literally pull back to the destroyed Chicago.
And they're walking away yucking it up, politely laughing.
Yeah. And George is like, I'm good now. Like,
this is the craziest thing in the world to me. Okay, I was going to bring this up as a low point. We find out that they called off the airstrike. But why?
Because there are civilians.
One, they should have known that the whole fucking time.
Well, at one point, they're treating it like it's like a progress bar. At one point, there's like 50% evacuation, 70% evacuation.
First of all, how would they know that?
They got a guy with a clicker.
Yeah. Like standing at the bridge.
Yeah.
But like, they would have known that civilians are there. The way that the colonel finds out that civilians are still there is Jeffrey Dean Morgan goes, hey, look, be sure to look at the video footage of what's going on in Federal Square over there.
Yeah, and what he sees, makes it even worse. What he sees is a giant fucking monster fighting another giant fucking monster.
And The Rock.
And The Rock. He's like, well, we can't. He's a national treasure.
We can't kill The Rock.
Yeah, he's the star.
But he doesn't see any other civilians. We don't see the other civilians until the very end of the movie when Rock is looking at, like, people who survivors.
Yeah.
But, like, one, they should have known the civilians were there the whole time. Two, if the idea was to kill these monsters that have been destroying the city, without question, without fail, the giant ape's still there.
Oh, yeah. Like, 5 minutes after this movie, like George is 100% sentenced to death because he's still a 40-foot gorilla. He's still a King Kong who murdered several people.
What lets everybody know, including Jeffrey Dean Morgan, including the colonel, including everybody but The Rock, know that George is okay now?
I have no idea. Like,
nothing does. Why does that guy in the parking garage suddenly say, like, oh, I can jump, I can get in this giant gorilla's hand and jump off the fucking parking deck?
I saw him doing sign language with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so he's probably okay.
There's no indicator that this gorilla, that this 20-foot tall gorilla, like, they're laughing it off. They're talking about, like, oh, we got to find a new place for George to live. If I'm that army colonel, I'm standing in that command center saying, like, the 20-foot gorilla is still alive. Get in there.
Okay, we've still got the stealth bomber circling. I'm sorry, we got to take out George before he kills again.
My head exploded at that moment. Like, I was like, how do they know he's okay?
I was sitting there with my hands on my head as this movie ended.
Like,
uncomprehending.
Chris, what are our final thoughts about Rampage?
The entire time we were watching this, the thought that I could not stop having was, I didn't see Pacific Rim Uprising in the theater, but I saw Rampage.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard Pacific Rim Uprising wasn't great, but it was definitely better than Rampage.
There is literally no way it could be worse than Rampage.
Rampage, we wanted one thing from Rampage, and it did not give it to us.
It didn't give it to us. Maybe that's our fault for coming in with unrealistic expectations. Nobody ever said there's a giant Dwayne The Rock Johnson in this movie.
But how could you not expect it?
How could you not? How could you not?
How could at least Dwayne, Rocky, The Rock, Maivia, Johnson not get into at least a giant robot suit and fight something? Because I know it's supposed to take place in a quote-unquote realistic world.
Where there's space stations.
Where there are private space stations.
Movie sucks. It's really bad.
Movie sucks.
It's not fun bad.
It's just bad.
It's just bad. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Rocky Maivia, has been in 100 movies.
A lot of those IMDb credits are like WWE DVDs.
Okay, so how many movies has he been in? 50?
We'll charitably say 50. It's maybe 40-some.
He's been in a lot of movies.
He's been in a lot of movies.
Does anybody have a worse batting average?
He is in mostly bad movies.
Yeah, he's been in like 5 good ones, including the Fast and Furious movies.
And Moana.
4 of them. And Moana. Moana's the 5th. And I heard Jumanji was actually good.
Okay. That's not a great batting average.
Yeah. How is he like the most famous person in the world and the most beloved, like one of the most well-liked celebrities in the world, when he has mostly been in bad movies?
Well, one thing is, even though he is in bad movies, he is enjoyable in those bad movies. Like, I would not say he's unenjoyable or unlikable in this movie, even though he's edging toward it. You know what his character was in this movie?
I mean, it was literally the same as Hobbs.
To a T. Well, it was very similar to Hobbs, but even more similar, he was Chris Pratt's character from Jurassic World.
I'm doing a cool hand motion.
He's doing the hand motion. Because everything Chris Pratt could do with the Velociraptors, The Rock could do with the gorillas. And he's like a weird, tough guy who can't connect to anybody. He's the guy from Jurassic World. And that character sucks.
Yeah.
But somehow I like The Rock's version more than Chris Pratt's version.
It's weird. It's weird. Because here's the thing. I'm totally willing to see Die Hard, but twice as big. And one leg. Which is the next movie The Rock's going to be in.
Skyscraper.
Yeah. The one where they're like, yeah, it's 200 floors. It's literally 5 times bigger than the Nakatomi Plaza.
What's wild is that in this movie, Rock was invincible.
Mm-hmm.
In that movie, he starts off wounded.
That's the only way you can believe he's in any danger is if you're like, we're literally taking his leg away.
And he's got to jump between skyscrapers.
He's got to jump between skyscrapers on one leg. And I know he's going to do it.
Look, everybody, we may go see Skyscraper. All right. One last thing before we wrap up.
Okay.
We've seen 2 Rock video game movies. Rampage and Doom.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to watch one again. Doom. In a second.
In a fucking heartbeat.
And Doom sucked.
Doom was bad.
Okay. And Rock was talking shit about Doom recently.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's not good. There's no reason to not talk shit about it. But this movie is also unbelievable. It is incomprehensibly bad.
All right, everybody. We'll be back in June with another movie. Will it be Skyscraper? Probably not.
Probably not.
But we'll watch something. Thanks for listening to this episode about the very bad movie Rampage. Our music is by Michael Kill. Our website was designed by Sean Bogus. The Snack Situation music, which we didn't use this episode, is by Matt Fisher. Check out our Tumblr, moviefighterscast.tumblr.com. Send us emails at moviefighterscast@gmail.com. Moviefighterscast.com is our website. Bye, everybody.
Bye. We love you. Unless you're the makers of Rampage.
This has been a Clytus Media production.